Welcome back to Legend in the Field podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Landmark, and we are at episode number 7, and we are getting close to harvest. I know in some areas harvest has already started. It can be an exciting time. It can be a nerve-wracking time. But in this episode specifically, we're going to take a closer look at soybean and corn harvest data specifically, and then how it's collected, how to analyze it, and what it really tells us about the performance of hybrids and varieties out in the field. So whether you're a grower, agronomist, or advisor, these insights can help guide your decisions for the next season and even beyond. And I have a special guest once again with me this week, and he hails from New Ulm, Minnesota, and he's a recent addition to our agronomy team here at Legend Seeds, and I'd like to welcome Dan Olson. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Shelby. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, you have quite a history and a lot of harvests under your belt, but I want you to give us a little bit of a backstory about who you are and where you came from and how you came to be where you came to be.
Yeah, I'd love to. Like Shelby said, my name is Dan Olson. I live out of New Ulm. Won a newer hire here with Legend Seed and excited to be on board to work with this great team and these products that we are offering and looking for the future. But a little background about myself. I'm from Western Minnesota, Lacaparle County, small town of Madison, Minnesota. Grew up on a small dairy farm there. And from there, I went to got my agronomy degree at South Dakota State University.
Go Jacks.
Yep, you know it. and from there, then did a little consulting and then moved to New Ulm in 2000 to work at a retailer with their seed and agronomy for a few years. And then I started working with some seed companies for the last about 20-some years. So in southern Minnesota in New Ulm. So it's been great experiences, learned a lot. Just how to do things efficient out there and so on.
Yeah. Well, we're great. We're very grateful to have you, and especially in that area, because it's busy. It's busy, busy, busy over there. And it's always a good data collecting area for us as well. So you've had a lot of experience with data. You've worked with plots before, and you've really honed in some of your skills in working with data collection and then analyzing it. So you were the perfect person to have this conversation with today. So I thank you for joining me. Yeah. But we'll kind of just get right into it. So it all starts with the plots. I mean, it all starts with the data, and it starts with not just plots, but anybody that plants our seed has the ability to give us some data. So how do you approach the collection and then the organizing of like the start to finish harvest data for corn and soybeans? What tools or platforms do you use? Kind of what's the process that you really see works best?
Yes. Well, definitely, Shelby. Getting information is valuable to help the growers locally and just everybody in the area, because all areas are different. Mother Nature, as far as weather, soil types, and so on. So as more data we can collect, it gives us better results to help growers succeed and so on in the field. But just starting from the beginning, I mean, honestly, it's just, being consistent out there. So let's, put hybrids on the farm in plots that sort of fit that area, and then just sort of get good, consistent data as far as planting. I like to do sort of sets out there that I can compare products and so on in certain areas from Western Minnesota, South, North, East, all the area. And just to get a good base so we can see how these products are going to perform in certain areas. And from there, I mean, that's sort of the plot sets and so on. But growers also, if you're out there in the field, just take good notes, seeing how those products perform or as far as handling the growing season, because every growing season is different. You can talk to anybody. They have not seen the same growing season from one year to another. So so starting there, getting a good plot in there as far as timely, and then, just managing it, keeping an eye on it, seeing how it's reacting throughout the year, if it's diseases, if it's wet feet, if it's dry, Every product out there will perform differently depending on what Mother Nature gives us. So starting there, and then, yeah, some other tools, you know, for collection wise, and maybe I'm jumping my head a little bit too much, but, you know, that's, you know, just some of the mapping also can collect data. You know, if you take good notes as you're planting, you know where your hybrids are out in your field. So,
Absolutely. So then sometimes, so there's a question that gets asked sometimes about the management, I guess, when it comes to going out and checking on a regular basis. And I mean, some people don't take a look at their field until harvest time. Some people are look at it every other day to try to take some notes and trying to have those management practices on point. What are some suggestions that you would give, or what are some mistakes that some farmers may make during data collection that can actually hinder, you know, the value of the analysis or the data?
Yeah. No, there's always ways to improve and stuff. And of course, you know, it doesn't have to be your agronomist or, you know, the Legend agronomist team. You know, just taking a look at some of the stuff throughout the growing seasons will give you an idea. I mean, how that plant, how those hybrids are working out there. Because everything, you know, soil types change across that field. And sometimes you see those hybrids change too, because they don't handle that as well, or they handle it better. So, yep. So mainly just, yeah, trying to keep an eye on it. And then as we get close to harvest here, trying to collect as much consistent data as possible. If that's, I mean, getting good data is the main purpose of that, because this is an exciting time of year, because this is us getting to the final end of that race. I mean, all year long, we were battling and doing everything we can to get the most return on that acre for the grower and so on. And now we get to see our results and get to see our rewards.
Right. Yep. So when you go out and start to get that harvest data back, what are those metrics when you're evaluating the hybrid or varieties? What are the metrics or those KPIs that you prioritize beyond just the yield and the yield monitor of what those bushels are per acre, but what exactly are those metrics that you're looking for?
Yes. Myself personally, and I know our agronomist team also, you know, we like to look at how these products have done throughout the year. So, looking at, you know, one plot, you know, maybe it's your neighbors or whatever, and making decisions off that, not necessarily the best thing. We like to look at an area and to see, you'll start seeing trends out there. You'll see products that are, you know, very consistent, you know, across a large area. So that's telling me that it is, you know, can handle a lot of different situations. Sometimes, you know, see ones that just always spike to the top. Maybe the next spot they're at the bottom. So that tells me it's sort of inconsistent. So, or it needs to be placed in the best spot or that ideal spot. So that's when we dive into it and say, okay, this soil is, you know, heavier, or this is lighter and it performed better here. So let's, as we move forward, let's try and get that on there. But, you know, looking at how the plant handled, I mean, as far as standability, is it standing well out there? You know, did we have an issue? Did we have rootworm out there that we didn't realize on maybe some hybrids that didn't have insecticide or a trait or repel on to, you know, give it, you know, the issues with the rootworm out there. And then disease too, as far as, you know, this year was very wet and cool in some areas, and now hot and cool and wet. And, you know, we see a lot of disease. So, I mean, are our plants breaking down? Are we getting stock rot? Is there anthracnose? You know, so those are all showing their heads right now. So that takes into account here how we can manage those products moving forward. So, yeah, so it's not, I mean, you know, just me talking, if you're out there looking at your field, it's like, you know, look at what, how it did on your operation, but hey, let's look around, you know, some areas to see what the trend we're seeing on those hybrids and how it could work on your operation. So, yeah.
So then the next question comes into, we have multiple products that we have had for quite a few years, and they've been quote unquote rock stars in the field. And they've consistently done well. You know, when you can think of a few hybrids off the top of your head, I know each agronomist kind of has their top products. But having those products consistently produce year over year, what role does that multi-year and then multi-location, because some of you have some of those products too that are on, I mean, some that do great in Wisconsin, some that do great even in North Dakota, that just consistently do well with that multiple location data, what role does that play in assessing the consistency of a hybrid or that variety? Or how do you weigh it against a single year standout performance? So I guess just to kind of reiterate, what role does multi-year and multi-location data play in assessing that consistency of those hybrids or varieties? Yep. And then how do you really compare and contrast from year to year to consider it a standout product?
Yep. This is one of the biggest things that I think is very important that every grower, agronomist, consultant should take a look at. Multi-year data is probably the most important out there. It shows how these things are going to handle multiple years of different things that Mother Nature throws at us. If we just look at one plot or 1 year of a product and it does extremely well, but then the next year, you know, the year was a different growing season and it changes. Mm-hmm. So I like to look and have growers look at multiple year just to give you a consistent product out there. One thing I always like to say is like, if you're planting, the plot winter this year, you're a year behind. So if you start looking for multiple years of consistent data, it doesn't always have to be the top, but guess what? If we're always up there, that's going to be the best thing on your farm. It's showing me that these products can handle, you know, multiple different growing seasons and what, you know, yep, diseases and so on. So it's one of the biggest things that sometimes gets, emotional and it's like, oh, that thing won the plot. Let's plant that all.
Put it everywhere.
Yeah. Next year's going to be different. New products are different. You know, that's, you know, we're bringing them out. We've looked at them for a couple years. It's definitely, you know, try new products, but, because those are what's coming in the future. But yeah, if you see a product, it's a couple years old, that's been consistent and always up there. I mean, that's going to be on your grower's operation. That is where it's going to be a nice consistent product, but constantly look at new products also. But that's where the single year can be, like I said, you're a year behind, but it does give you information, which is very valuable, but don't make all your decisions on 1 year, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And using that harvest data going into next season, since you mentioned that, you know, picking your hybrids for next year, and some people, it's early, everybody kind of makes their decisions at a different time during the year, but going into 2026 planting season, what suggestions would you give to those farmers and growers out there for their seed selections next year? What are you kind of seeing? Soil health going into harvest is an important thing to look at as well, because you're going to kind of see what the soil conditions are going to be going into wintering, and hopefully we'll have enough moisture going into spring. Yeah. You know, what are you kind of seeing out there right now for some suggestions going into seed selection decisions for next year?
I think, soil, I mean, our moisture out there is important, especially as we move west. But, you know, a lot of it, I mean, I would look at maybe some of the diseases that we're seeing out there. We definitely saw differences out in the fields this year. Down into Iowa, they got devastated by southern rust. Out west, maybe a little rootworm, and so on. So as you're planning, as you're picking products, you know, look around, see what you're seeing out there, and just sort of plan. I mean, if you know you're going corn on corn, you know, let's look for an above and below ground, like a boar seed, like we have, Smart Sack, a Duracade. You know, plan for that. And that sort of goes back to the moisture too, as you move west, if it's drier out there. So, you know, if we're doing just a rotated, that corn soybean rotation, you know, look for, you know, maybe above ground, if that's what you're looking for, unless you're in an extended diapause area. You know, that can handle some of the stressors or some of the issues that you're seeing on this past growing season, because a lot of those diseases and pathogens are in are up here now, and we got to start managing for them if it's with fungicide or whatever. So another little tip, as I'm, you know, as growers are deciding on what they're planting, something I've sort of been doing or visiting with people in the last couple years is that, you know, if we know we're going to do this 40 maybe of corn on corn next year, but it was beans this year, you know, look for a above and below ground protection on the rotated ground so we can reduce our rootworm pressure going on to the corn on corn. So a lot of little things right. that go into it. So, but yeah, definitely try and find a nice, you know, balance of consistent products. And then, you know, go for some of the new ones also. So, yeah.
And that's, so you're saying, yeah, with the new genetics coming out, and we've always got new products, everything is changing all the time. There's always new traits coming out. There's all kinds of new genetics that are coming out every single year. And we're always on top of trying new products in our plots and getting that information back. So there is a good balance between new genetics and then sticking with those proven performers, especially right. When you don't know what the next year is going to bring either. So no, that's a good right. point. So,
well, and I in those example, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You said, what'd you say?
A perfect example of our line, you know, our lineup, the 9397 yep. Power Core. It's a great product. It goes all over the place. It handles, people know it. They love it. You know, keep planting it, but like you said, new products, we got a great class of for 2026. So if you're doing some of the 93, 97 Power Core, hey, let's take a look at the 96, 98 Power Core with it. Great new product. So, I mean, so you can start looking at some of the newer genetics coming down the pipeline.
Yep, absolutely. And contact any of our agronomists, any of your account managers, because they all should have access to a lot of that. And so one last question I was going to ask too yeah. had to be on, you know, there's lots of platforms out there. When I say platforms, I mean data collection, data analyzing. I mean, down to the ease of just using Excel spreadsheets. But are there any other analytics or tools that you would suggest or that you've seen that actually make an impact on getting those evaluations and that data back in the last few years?
Well, there's been quite a bit. And I mean, a lot of it's what people are comfortable with too. But, you know, if it's whatever platform you use, I mean, it's just trying to get that as accurate as possible. And then you can, you know, visit with, you know, one of our agronomist team and, you know, try and get that data. And so it gets it in your hands and stuff. But I mean, they're all getting better and we're getting more comfortable with it. So I don't know if there's one direct one that's, you know, changing anything, but yeah. Have you seen anything?
Basically just having conversation and just being able to see that data for yourself is a big player yes. in it. And be sure to look for all of our harvest data that we come back right now. I know our team has been busy with silage samples. We'll be getting that data and that'll be available here later this fall. And then hot and heavy into harvest here soon. So
you bet, the exciting time of year.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us, Dan, and thank you for joining us on this deep dive into our harvest data and then hybrid performance. And if you found value in today's conversation, make sure you subscribe and share and listen to more of our podcasts. And until next time, Dan, again, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And stay safe out there, and we'll see you out in the field.